Yes, Alan? Okay. The Paul Hawthorne was scheduled to be here, and he came. He was exposed. He said he tested positive for COVID. And so, but he's not feeling sick. He's just a little bit under the weather, but not. He don't want to come out and give it to anybody else. Steve Rush is going to preach for us this morning, so we're very thankful for Steve to step in. There's a young lady that's going to place membership. We'll probably announce it next week. Maya. What's her last name? Williamson, yeah. And she has with her two daughters, that Maria and Sarah. So they'll be with us. They're not here today because they're out of town. But so they will be placing membership here. Seemed like there was more announcement, but we'll pick him up at the next hour. So, shall we? Well, wait a second. People are coming in still. We'll have a word of prayer. Hello, Ken. Shall we have a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this day. Father, we appreciate all that you give us, for we realize that we have nothing, we are nothing, and we are your creation. And you have given us so much, Father. You've made this earth for us to live on. And we, especially for your Son, who you gave to us as a plan of salvation, that we might have that home after this. Father, we pray for those that are sick. Alan mentioned a friend of his, and we pray for all people that are suffering and are in agony at this time, and help us, Father, to teach them about Jesus so they can have a peace that no one else has. Bless your children, Father. Bless those that are traveling to and fro. We ask, Father, that you be with all of us. Help us day by day as we need your help, Father. Father, we pray that you be with those that are sick, that you might bring them back to their wanted health. Be with this congregation that we might grow spiritually and physically, that we might always be a light upon a hill. This is our prayer, Father, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Also, I forgot to mention there's some people from Eastern Washington with us, so you're welcome. And there's a lot of people not here. Or maybe they're just coming in late, but Memorial Day, maybe they're traveling. Anyhow, right now we're in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Verse 35 is where we're going to start. So 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 35. And this chapter, we're taking a long time in it, but that's all right, because this is one of those chapters that have a lot in it, especially something that might comfort us. That's the resurrection. And it starts out with some that are teaching that there's no resurrection. And, of course, Paul spends a lot of time that, and then he spends some time on describing the resurrection, how it will happen. And then he goes back to the argument of why there is a resurrection. And then he finishes up with the resurrected body, which is in verse 35. But someone, I'll read verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? That's a very good question. That's a question I think we all look to and say, how is it going to be? How's it going to be? And, you know, there's so many theories out there of how it's going to be. But if they would just read this, they can learn a lot. And that's what we want to look at right now is what Paul says and gives us a clue. Now, he's not telling us in describing the body we're going to have. But he is, in a way, giving it to us, but in a way I think we can understand it, because personally, I don't think we can understand what it's going to be like. I think it's going to be so much different and so much greater that God just hasn't give us the ability to learn what that is. He tells us about it, but how great it is, how marvelous it is so much better than what I think our imagination can put it. So it's something that's going to be wonderful. But he goes here and he goes ahead and he starts showing this contrast between the good or the earthly and the time will be in after the resurrection. So let's look at verse 36. You fool, that which is sown does not come to life unless it dies. Okay, that's a fact. Seed you put in the ground, it dies before it sprouts up. And so he's giving you a contrast here. And that's what is sown. You do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. So we're looking at, and we see this, and we see that we know that we plant a seed. We don't plant what's going to grow. We plant a seed. You don't take a big oak tree and plant a big oak tree. You plant that little acorn and plant it, and it becomes that great. And so that's the contrast he's trying to show us between the what's now, the natural, and what's the spiritual. The spiritual is so much greater. If you look at that oak tree or that, I don't know if anybody's seen those redwoods down in California. Those are tremendous trees. The cones are about so big, but inside that is a mini seeds, and that little seed is not very big. But yet, that grows into this something that's so, so great and so much bigger and so much greater than what that seed is. And that's the contrast he's trying to show us. And he keeps talking about this and trying to make it where we can understand this. And verse 38 is something we really should listen to and understand. It says, but God gives it a body just as he wished. Okay, the body, the tree, the people, the whatever. It's what God wished. Not what I wish, what somebody else wished. God did this, and he did it in so many different ways. You look out there, just in the plant area, how many different plants are out there, and how many different ways of this happening. You know, you think of vegetables, you think of wheat, and then you think of that great big trees. You know, so it's so many different things. But God did it the way he wanted it. And so he gave us this big variety. And each, the seeds, a body of its own. And so one seed may be real, really, really tiny. And one is bigger. And one is pretty good size. But it's nothing compared to the what is to come. So I think we should look at that and realize that this is something so much greater than what we have. Is our bodies great? It's amazing how it operates. But there's something better coming. So much better. And it's hard for us, for me anyhow, to understand and realize what this is. Bev, did you have your hand up? I can't hear you, Bev. Well, that's a summary of this whole chapter, yes. Pardon me? I'm not hearing half of what you're saying, Bev. I'm sorry.
She thought it was great.
I'm sorry?
She thought it was great.
Oh, yes, it is. And it's not what I got out of it. Yes, this is just something God has done to us. It's so great that we have here. But it's nothing compared to what he's got for us in the future. And that's what the summary is. And you did a summary of the chapter in that thing. And that's good. That's beautiful. So it's something that's beyond, I think, what we can really truly understand. But we know it's great. It's like, how is heaven going to be? I don't know. But it's a lot greater than here. And here is so beautiful. Jeff? Well, I'm not sure what the situation was, but I know that he had to be recognized by them because they were his witnesses that he had raised from the dead. So he had to at that point, but a normal body doesn't ascend into heaven and disappear into heaven. Now, everybody realizes there's three types of heaven, don't you? There's where the birds fly out in the universe where the planets and what stars are, and then where God is. They're three separate places. Steve?
I'm not sure we can use that incident where Jesus arose as an example of what our bodies will be like. Jesus had a need to continue to function in this world after he was raised from the dead. Therefore, he had to have a body that was suited for this world. When we are raised,
yeah, that's the way I feel, too, that there's a separation. But Jesus had to be seen. He had to be acknowledged that he did raise from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. That's right. Okay, that's fine. Let's go on, and when you look at the comparisons of the what is now and what will be, I think in my mind it eliminates the physical. But, and, you know, people say, my mother is waiting in heaven, she's looking down at these types of things. I don't know that that's true. I don't have any scripture that would say that's true. But that doesn't matter. Because wherever my parents are, wherever my loved ones are, God is in control. I'm in control of what? Well, I'm not even hard in control of my own self, am I? We do things that we know we shouldn't do. So we need to say, okay, God is in control. Whatever it is, it is. It doesn't really matter. But I think by the scriptures here, especially in this chapter, it's beyond what we can understand. That's my take on it. But let's go ahead and look at this and find out what Paul is saying here, and he gives us bits of information here as we go along. So we see the seed has a body, and it's different than the thing, whatever will grow into. And there's no comparison between the two. Doesn't even look like it, does it? Doesn't even look like it. Seed to a whatever we think about it, wheat seed. You know, it's a little tiny thing. It's not, has nothing to do with this, the plant as far, but there's a lot of seeds in that plant. And so we know that God has done this and trying to help us understand it. But let's go to verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there are one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts and another flesh of birds and another of fish. Well, you all know that. Anybody that's a meat eater knows that there's a different texture, different the meat of these animals, and the human body is all different. So God has did at least four different kinds of, and they all have a different purpose, don't they? I mean, one is the flesh, it's of man, and the beasts are, you know, cattle and animals, and the birds are different, and fish is definitely different. So we know that God did this, showing that there's things that are different in the earthly body and earthly bodies. And then he goes on, he even elaborates on that. There's also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one and the glory of the earthly is another. But we know that there are some things that are greater than others. We just use some examples of that. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of stars, and some stars differ from star in glory. So we know that. We look up in the sky and we see our sun. It's big. It's bright. But, you know, really, we know that that's just a star, and it's a small star. Those stars that are so far away are so much glorious than our sun, but they're the distance away that we can't even begin to think about how far away it is. What is it? Our Milky Way galaxy, if we were traveling the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, it takes 1,000 years just to go across our galaxy. How can I get around in that? And that's just our galaxy. Beyond that and beyond that and beyond that, who knows? But God knows all that stuff. He put that stuff there. How much greater is that than what we have here? We have here is great. I'm not saying it's not. But how much greater is that? I can't even put that in my mind how far it does. You see shows on TV, you know, they go from his galaxy to that galaxy. It's not physically possible. Light is as fast as same we know, and it's that fast. But it takes so long to get just a small distance in perspective what it is. Alan? God is in control of all of it. And Job also said, "Where were you, Job, when I made all these things?" Yeah. It's beyond, way beyond what we are. And so that's our God. That's the one that we worship. That's the one that can help us. These gods of men, what can they do for you? in their own stories, they fight with each other. And they have trouble, and they all these things that they say they do. Well, our God is so far beyond that. And so he's a creator. And so stars are greater, and the universe, there's things that are greater and smaller. Now, I do not take that as in the creation, John is going to be greater than I am. Don't know that what he's teaching there. But I could see where somebody might say that because of what it's saying. I think he's comparing the physical with the spiritual, not comparing the spiritual with the spiritual. But I would not argue that. But anyhow, that's where I land on that. Okay, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Okay, the resurrection of the dead is like this. It's greater. And it is sown a... lost my face. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised a imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. So in that we could see... If we take each one of those, what do we look at? We have now a perishable body. It's not going to last. It's not designed to last over some people, maybe 100 years. But usually death is someplace in the 80s. Depends on the health and the medical people we have that might help us live a longer. But it's not... designed for that, but that's a perishable body. And what happens to a body when it dies? It decays right away. It just starts to decay. But we're talking about an imperishable body, so it's a lot different. So in that aspect, it's different. It is sowed in dishonor, it is raised in glory. So the dishonor would be along the same line, but it's raised in glory. It's going to be a glorious body, so much greater. So much greater. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. We're weak today. We are weak. We have a certain amount of strength, and God gives us that. But we are weak compared to a lot of things around us. But in God, the resurrection will be in power. So it's so much greater. You just keep talking about so much greater. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. It is sown, it is there a natural body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Okay, now he's setting a different situation here. If there's a natural body, that's an earthly body, then there's a spiritual body. So we can be assured that we have a spiritual body. We will have a spiritual body. Right now we have this one. Remember a few weeks ago, what did we talk about? The inner man and the outer man. The inner man is that spirit that will go back to God. That's our life. That's our being. But this physical body that we live in, and that's the way it actually really is, then that body, it will decay. It will be gone. But the spiritual body will be given a new body. Ben?
Well, it doesn't reference in Philippians week 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, which we also need to wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the work with which he is able to even subdue all things to himself.
Okay, so that just sums up what we've been saying, isn't it? That Jesus is going to give us something beyond what we have now. Way beyond what we have now. Okay, anything else? I'm sort of doing a lot of talk this morning. It's sold a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. It is there... If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. We know that Adam was created, and he became a living soul. God gave him that life. The last Adam, which is Christ, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So we give that eternity we're given to by God, by Jesus. And so he compares it to Adam and Adam. Adam, the first Adam, of course, would be Adam, the first man that was created. And the Adam would be the first one raised from the dead, which would be Christ. Okay, now here's another principle he's setting forth. The first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. So Adam was from the earth, but Christ is from heaven. As is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. And as for the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Okay, so there's a big difference between the two. Although Jesus became a physical body, but he didn't have that when he came. I know people said, well, how come angels come as in the appearance of man if they're not in that appearance? Well, if an angel appeared right now, which he's not, but if he did, what appearance would he take? Well, it has to be something that we would communicate with, right? So that's, as far as I'm concerned, the answer to that question. Well, it has to, if you're going to create a communication between people, you got to be something that people aren't going to run from. If it was a big monster up here, an angel, I suppose, could take on any form that they needed to. Can you give me an illustration of an angel or a spiritual being taking another form? Okay, in the burning bush. That's not who I was thinking of, but that's okay. So there's a appearing in such a way that we can communicate with man. Ben, a donkey, yeah, yes, it was talking, and you know, he didn't have a problem with that. I don't understand that, but he communicated with that donkey. I guess he was overwhelmed. I don't know. But we see that angels are coming to this earth to do what? To communicate with man. That was a purpose. Now, we talked about an angel in Judges in the midweek class that was offered some food and he refused to eat it. Well, we don't know if that's because he said, sacrifice anything to God. Don't worry about me. But does an angel have to have food? Okay, we're going to get that in just a few verses. But no, it's not a flesh and blood situation. We are. We have to have that nourishment. That's God's plan. Whether there will be that type of thing in heaven, I doubt it. I doubt it. Doesn't even get into that situation, does it? But anyhow, I think it is very interesting to see that. Okay, verse 49. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we also bear the image of the heavenly. So it's a different image. What does that mean? Well, you could look at it several different ways, couldn't you? So it doesn't really matter. It's going to be different. And we're going to be happy to have it, whatever it is. Okay, so then he switches, and in verse 50, to a situation that is clarifying what was just said, but also is showing, like Beverly said, a victory. There's a victory in this, and we want to know what that victory is. Verse 50, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Heaven, there won't be any flesh and blood. Okay, so if in our minds we think of flesh and blood, I know I heard one time these two guys religious people talking. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to go fishing with the Lord. They don't have an idea of difference. We're talking about the Creator and the creation. What do we have? If somebody thinks they're going to be buddy with the Lord, I doubt that. They will be loved. They will be taken care of. They will be so much more. That is God, and we're not God. So we're the creation. So to think we should be equal with God, and I think that part of that is wrong. You cannot be equal with God. You are God's creation. God loves his creation. God wants the best for his creation. He's going to provide for us beyond our understanding. But yet, flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, over in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, about 35, 36, someplace in there, it talks about that same thing. Jesus said that there's not going to be marriages in heaven. So, if you're talking about male and female being married and this type of thing, it's not happening in heaven. I know a religion out there is based on that. You're not married unless you're married in the church, in a building that they call the church. And this type of thing, which does not correspond with what God is saying. But, Ben? Yeah, it's not a equal thing. We'll never be equal with God. I mean, God is, would be God if we were equal to him, because we're not God. We are his creation, his love. And he wants us. He wants to take care of us. He wants us not to be lost. But he also wants us to be faithful to him. And so that's where man has a problem, don't they? Man isn't always faithful to God, but God wants us to. That's why he provided a Savior. But we still have to come to the Savior. We can't just say we're going to, whatever I do is good enough. It's not true. Anything else? Okay. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So it's the other way around. The imperishable is what will be. 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be all changed. Somebody tell me, what does that verse mean? It's a mystery. What's a mystery? Something's not known, right? Okay. Here's a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. I want to slip it over to you guys. I've been doing a lot of talking. What does that mean? We will all be changed. We will not all sleep. Steve? Okay, so there we see that change, don't we? We see something that people that die, and Paul says we here, not meaning himself, meaning those that are alive. Those that have died, their physical body is gone. It's gone. But the spiritual body is in another place. It went back to God, but not heaven, but went back to God. Now, when Jesus comes again, what's he going to do? Those that are fall asleep are going to be taken. Those that are dead, that's what fall asleep means in this place. they will be changed. They will not change. They will be taken to God. And that's when the resurrection takes place. Now, what happens to those that are alive? If it happened right now, we'd be alive. But we cannot have this body because we're going to be given another body. So what are we going to do? We're going to be changed. In other words, the body is going to be left and the spirit is going to go to God. And then those two groups will be joined as one and they will be a resurrection. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say. That's right. And you wanted something. Well, the word rapture is in the scripture. There's not even a concept. The concept is here that when it happens, when Jesus comes, what's going to happen? He's going to destroy this earth. Gone. Gone. Completely gone. Universe, everything's gone. The creation that God did is gone. But what's left? Well, nothing that we know, nothing physical that we know of, then what's God going to take those? If you want to tack a name onto it, I guess you can call it whatever you want, but God calls it a resurrection. And so what will happen then? It's what's here, not what somebody else makes up. And that's as simple as that. Anybody can start making up that stuff. I mean, we have people, that's our whole job, making up stuff, Jeff. But what does resurrection mean? Well, yeah, I think it means more than that. Resurrection is a joining of a body and a spirit. So if we're resurrected, when a person dies, their spirit goes to God. They haven't got a body anymore. Their body's in the grave. It's dead. It's decayed. It's gone. So it has to have a new body. That's what a resurrection is. So when we are given a new body, that's the resurrection. I think that's where it's at. Oh no! And how does a person get on this earth? You're physically born of parents, right? That's the only way you can get on the earth. Two people didn't, but the first two. From them, all life has came. We are born and getting to this earth. That's the way we get to earth. There's no other way to get to earth except that way. Heaven. Are we going to be born in heaven? No. We're going to be brought from this part to God. That's why it's called children of God. We'll be resurrected in the after while. And that's a resurrection. That's a reuniting of a body and a spirit. It's a different body. It says right here, it's like that seed is planted. It's a little tiny thing, and it grows into something just marvelous. And I think that's what it's saying here. That's my take on it. Anybody else? Ken? That's right.
Aspect to our lives. And it says that when we're
don't think that's going to happen.
What is the real problem with the face of the earth? With being physical? We have to eat. We have to have shelter. We have to have all kinds of things. We're kind of weak in a lot of ways as a physical being. But the hope is that we won't have to do certain things like that. But the idea of heaven was everlasting, where we already realized once you're born, you're going to die. Now, we come across this in one little sentence that says, okay, this concept of rapture or the concept of
resurrection. But we see other cases that angels did eat.
One thing we know, I'm standing here or sitting here and I'm physical and I'm not.
Well, when Jesus comes, it will be instant. And
but
verse.
That's the whole point of being in the church, is investigating and understanding that there's a hope for everlasting.
Now, the hope is there. There's no doubt, and there's also that, well, preparation. You will have to have a preparation to get there. You can't get there without a preparation. But I'd like to sort of, well, maybe we're out of time. I'm going to get one more verse here, so if we'll end up with verse 52 and start with 53 next week. Now, this is how it's going to be. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Just that fast. When it's gone, it's gone. So, if we don't have the preparation, then we're out of luck, aren't we? Now, this chapter is only talking about the ones that are going to be acceptable to God. It's not talking about the other part. And we have other scriptures that talk about that, but we are focusing on this, and that's what we need to be focused on, what our reward will be. So it's whatever we go through on this earth is worth it if we can get what's after a while. Okay, my time's up. Thank you very much.